Tribe 26 is surging as Florida State stays red hot on the recruiting trail with multiple big time flips this week, and they have now landed 9 commitments in the month of June. That's exactly what we're going to talk about today. And Tommy Castellanos calls out Bama. You heard it. We're going to talk about it. So what's up, Noh Nation? I'm Jesse from Plant the Spear, and thank you for joining me for this recruiting update. Now, as you guys know, we just recorded a recruiting episode on Friday with a lot of the activity that Florida State's been doing throughout the month of June. But they've been so busy on the recruiting trail. There have been so many commitments rolling in that we had to come back today to bring you guys an update on all the latest news and commitments. Florida State has had 4 in the last 2 days as we record this on Monday. And chances are they are not done yet. There are a lot of other pieces in motion here. We do have a decommitment to talk about as well. But, you know, it's funny. It's like me and Michael talk about on the show all the time. We used to pray for times like these. And so, I mean, Florida State, you know, as the kids say, is cooking on the trail. And so it's hard to deny this momentum. It's hard to, you know, not be excited as a Florida State fan when you see the momentum that they're building, when you see the commitments that are rolling in. Now, of course, you know, it's more important where you're at on signing day than it is throughout the summer. But the fact that Florida State is getting the momentum that they are, if they can follow it up with a good season on the field, then, you know, we'll see if they can get that top 10 class that we've talked about before. So, man, excited to get into this episode. But before we do that, guys, keep in mind, we are less than 10 Saturdays away from kickoff against Alabama. So here at Plant the Spear, we're going to be rolling out a ton of FSU content, recruiting content. You got game previews, season previews, all kinds of stuff coming your way. So there has never been a better time to hit that like and subscribe button to stay connected with us. If you're watching on Plant the Spear, you can also join the channel as a PTS Tribe member to help support us in our efforts here to be your favorite fan outlet that covers Florida State. So we greatly appreciate that. There will be some exclusive benefits for you guys who decide to become members. But as always, all of our content will remain 100% free. And so we appreciate you guys that support us, however that may look. Now, let's dive in. It has been the defensive side that has been racking up the recruits. And now we have some offensive recruits to talk about. So shout out to the offensive staff for doing their part on the recruiting trail as well. And one of the biggest dominoes to fall for this 2026 class is the first one that we're going to talk about here, a name that we've been all over just kind of waiting for this commitment to pop. And it finally happens on Sunday with Jaden O'Neal making it official. Of course, you know he was a Oklahoma commit for around a year, backed off that commitment coming off the official visit to Florida State, and then flips his commitment officially on Sunday to Florida State. 4-star quarterback, 6'3", 215 out of Mustang, Oklahoma. Now, this is a little bit of an awkward situation because he did move from California to Oklahoma to be closer to that program, which he's no longer committed to. But this is, you know, and let's be honest, guys, like I talked about in the last episode, O'Neal may not have been Florida State's first choice at quarterback. You know, they had a couple other pieces that didn't work out for them, but that doesn't mean this is a bad choice. This is still a really good pickup for Florida State. This is a, you know, a 4-star quarterback, again, number 205 player nationally, number 14 quarterback in the 2026 class, according to the 247 composite. So a top 15 quarterback, the number one player in his new home state of Oklahoma, threw for 3,000 yards with a 61% completion percentage last year, 28 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions. He is more of a pure passer than you would expect in a Gus Malzahn offense, has a strong arm here, a good deep ball, good accuracy on that deep ball, and can make plays in or outside of the pocket. Now, he is not the most mobile guy, but he is definitely far from a statue. He has competed at Elite 11, did impress there as well, has impressed in some of the bigger camps. I know he competed at Battle Miami as well. The thing is, when you talk about the fit in the Gus Malzahn system, he did have a chance to talk with Gus Malzahn on that official visit. They were able to explain kind of how he was going to fit into that offense. Something O'Neal talked about was how Gus has had some more pass first quarterbacks in the past. A guy like Jared Stidham comes to mind, you know, someone where I think in when you go back to 2017, I looked it up, they won 10 games and they competed for the SEC championship with Jared Stidham at quarterback with only 150 rushing yards in that season. So, you know, Gus has had a little bit of success there with some non-mobile guys. Of course, it is more effective of an offense with the mobile guys. But again, Jaden O'Neal can move. I like this because it adds depth and competitiveness to the quarterback room for next year, because right now, you know, with no one in the fold, you were kind of wondering what the answer was going to be. Now, he will join, of course, Kevin Sperry, another ex-Oklahoma commit, in the quarterback room there for kind of your future there. And so, man, I'm just excited about this commitment. And this is one that you, a domino that you needed to fall, because of, especially when you talk about the next commit that we're going to talk about here in just 1 second. A lot of times with recruiting, you know, you need that one domino to fall, especially at the quarterback position. That's really, really important. A lot of the receivers aren't going to want to commit until they know who's going to be throwing them the ball. And that's exactly what we saw in the case of Devin Carter that we're going to talk about next. Now, the last thing I want to say with O'Neal here is don't let the sour Sooner fans concern you. Look, I've already seen it on our social media pages. He's OU reject and all these things. And you know, oh, we moved on and you're just getting our seconds and things like that. That is not at all the case. Look, a 30-second search will find you plenty of content with Oklahoma fans calling him elite. I saw one video saying why they wanted him even more than Bo Bentley. And, you know, at the end of the day, this recruitment ended up working out for both schools, really. Not that we care about what happened with Oklahoma, but they did end up getting Bo Bentley shortly after O'Neal decommitted. So things kind of worked out in your favor, and you ended up with a quarterback, and you needed one in this class, and you got a good one, top 15 in the 2026 class, again here for Jaden O'Neal. So big pickup by Florida State. And again, like we said, that was a domino that needed to fall. And that domino led to what I believe that was a big domino in the flip of four-star wide receiver Devin Carter, who we're going to talk about now. Now, most of you guys obviously know this is the son of Dexter Carter, a Seminole legend, first-round NFL draft pick. So you know he's happy to see his son come back in the fold for Florida State. And I say back in the fold because he was originally committed to FSU back when the old staff was here, back in the midst of the terrible season. And, you know, guys, let's just be honest. At the time, this commitment was always supposed to be Florida State's, right? He was previously committed to FSU, as I mentioned. But after last year and the record, the lack of a quality staff, and, you know, Dugans hadn't really done anything with the receivers that he had. Then you had the coaching reset with a lot of uncertainty there. It just wasn't a good place. FSU was not a good sell, should I say, in the early part of this commitment. But things have changed since then. And so you pick up the commitment, 6'1", 175 out of Douglasville, Georgia, consensus four-star wide receiver, top 200 kid nationally at 120, number 17 wide receiver in the 26 class, number 15 player out of Georgia, had 37 total offers with all the big boys you can imagine, Clemson, Georgia, Bama, Auburn. 41 receptions, 669 yards last year with 5 touchdowns in high school. Speedy guy, lots of explosiveness here, can play inside, could possibly play outside if you need to, but a very talented receiver here that Florida State's getting. Again, another speedy target that Florida State picked up in the 26 class. Now, the one thing that we said on the last show about that quarterback domino falling, you know, we had even mentioned how he commented on Jaden O'Neal's decommitment post on Instagram from Oklahoma. So you knew once that domino fell, this one was probably going to happen soon after. And this was a big flip for Florida State, not only from, you know, to get the legacy back in the fold from an SEC program, from Auburn, who's been doing pretty good on the recruiting trail. When we talk, one thing I do want to talk about is some comments that he made after he committed. And that was about confidence in the new staff. Because again, remember, he committed to the old staff, then decommitted, came back on campus multiple times to feel out the new staff, and then flipped his commitment to the new staff. And he said that he had confidence in them. He felt like they had a plan for him. And that's something we've heard from multiple recruits about the confidence in this new staff and the direction that they're going to take this program. Now, of course, you have to back that up on the field. It's all kind of new car smell right now. That sounds great until you see it on the field. So they got to back that up. But I think this speaks volumes to why Mike Norvell opted to bring in that more experienced staff and why we should be, as fans, excited about the future if the success follows on the field. You know, you have a staff now that has been in some living rooms against big time, you know, four big time recruits against big time programs in Gus Malzahn. You know, so you're starting to see some of these decisions start to pay off here. And I mean, this is another big addition for wide receiver coach Tim Harris Jr. So kudos to him as well. Questions. One thing I want to talk about too, the last thing here is, you know, there's been some questions, and I was talking about this with one of our commenters the other day about attracting talent at quarterback and wide receiver in a Gus Malzahn offense. And the one thing that I do want to point out is, no, it's not an elite passing offense. Yes, of course, it's 60% run, so it is always going to be a little bit of a tough sell, but Gus Malzahn's passing offense is not as bad as people think. It's somewhere usually around the top 50, top 60 when they have a decent quarterback. But when you look back to 2023 at Central Florida, they produced almost two 1,000-yard receivers in the same season. They had one over 1,100 yards and one around 900 yards. And to be honest, guys, Florida State has only produced 1,000-yard receiver Tomori and Terry in 2019 since 2014. So it's not like you can't have some big play receivers in this offense. I mean, again, Calvin Johnson, Megatron, played in the triple option at Georgia Tech. So you can make some big plays with the receivers here in the pass game and the Gus Malzahn offense. So I like what they're selling to these recruits. Now, speaking of another big-time pass catcher that Florida State just landed today, just before I jumped on to record this, and that is four-star tight end Xavier Tiller out of Fairburn, Georgia, 6'4", 212, number 204 nationally, number 11 tight end in the 26th class, top 25 player out of the state of Georgia. 35 offers, including basically everyone that you know, just like Devin Carter. I almost called him Dexter there. Bama, Georgia, Florida, Auburn. Previously was committed to Texas A&M. 25 catches, 344 yards, three touchdowns last season. He does play in Georgia's 7A classification, so playing against really good competition there. One comment that I found interesting after his official visit, he mentioned that he likes the things that they can do with him here, that he thinks he could win the Mackey, he can play as a freshman, he can get developed by Coach Thompson. And he talked about being able to play as a freshman. And that's something that I think is important. And I think this is a direct play off what you saw from Amari Williams and Landon Thomas last year as freshmen at the tight end position. You saw them be able to make that immediate impact as a freshman. And so, you know, Chris Thompson does it again, man. He brings in another talented tight end and a guy who can probably get on the field and make an immediate impact next year. You know, when you look at Tiller, he does have massive hands and a wide wingspan and already has good size at 6'4", 212. So this is a kid that can come in and compete for a starting spot or at least make an impact right away. So another big pickup on the offensive side of things for Florida State. Now, the last offensive commitment we got to talk about here is offensive lineman Luke Francis. Coming over from England, was originally competing in an NFL academy over there. He is set to finish his high school career in Coral Gables this year in South Florida with an American football program there. So he is not rated right now by any of the major recruiting services because of that overseas background there. But once he gets down there to South Florida, play some high school football and the scouts get a chance to get their eyes on him, I'm sure he's going to earn a rating, probably somewhere starting around the 3-star range there and working his way up. But I think what you're looking at here is this size. You can't look, no, it doesn't matter what the star rating is. 6'5", 335, and a kid who can play some football, you know, that's what I'm really looking at here. He's got great strength for that size too. And you know, actually what's kind of funny about this commitment is a friend of mine, Jesse, shout out to Jesse. I'm Jesse, he's Jesse, we're both Jesses. We went to high school together, played football together. He's a big time Florida State fan and a big time supporter of the show. So shout out to him as well. But he was actually at the big man camp where Francis was at. And he was telling me, because he had the one I told you, my nephew was there. And he was telling me that this kid was basically eating lunches all day long, and the staff was all over him. They had him playing offensive line on the defensive side because he actually is a defensive lineman by nature, but Florida State is recruiting him more as an offensive line. And he said, man, he sent me a picture of him. He's like, dude, this kid is massive, and he's just showing out here at camp. So lo and behold, right after that, boom, here comes an offer. Boom, there goes the commitment, and you land him. Now, the good thing about this, again, is, you know, we've seen this before with Florida State staff. You know, sometimes they try and get in early on these underrated recruits. And because really, when you look at Francis, he only had offers from Syracuse and Georgia State as of right now. So hopefully you can keep him in the fold and he rises up these recruiting rankings. Again, like I mentioned, is being viewed more as an offensive lineman for FSU. He's still very raw as being new to the American football game, but that's something that you can work on. Again, a good comparison here is Lucas Simmons. But, you know, again, shout out to Coach Hand and also Coach Knighton, who was involved in this recruitment as well. One good thing about this is picking him up right before you lost the commitment of three-star offensive lineman Xavier Payne. So I think really when you look at it here, this is kind of a net neutral with the swap out here. But, you know, again, man, shout out to the offensive staff. Herb Hand out here doing the Lord's work. So far, I was looking it up because everyone he brings in seems to be really, really huge, which I like. He's building a wall up front in Tallahassee. So far, when you include back to last year, the portal and high school commits, he has brought in 11 players so far with an average height of 6'5" and a weight of 308 pounds. So good job, Coach Hand. I love what you're doing with the offensive line there. And so when we look at Tribe 26 to kind of bring it home here, you are now up to 17 commits, ranked 10th in the 247 composite ranking and 13th per On3. Now, I think that needs to be updated because they were still 13th before the Tiller commitment. But look, at the end of the day, guys, Florida State is racking up commitments, and they still have a lot more to go. And, you know, we discussed on the last show, can they land that top 10 class? And by the way things are going, it looks like they might just be able to finally get that for the first time under Mike Norvell. And again, I just want to go back to saying, look, this is one of the most important things. We talked about this season and what it might look like going forward. And yes, you want to see the win-loss record look right, but you also wanted to see progress in recruiting. And that's what they're making now. And they deserve credit for that. You know, Florida State had a really good class going into 2024. And then it fell apart with the way the season shook out. But this is something where if they can keep this momentum going into the season and then back it up with a decent, you know, 8-9 win season, then I think they can get that top 10 class, man, because there are still some big targets out there like we've talked about. Just a few to name here, some of the dominoes that have fallen off our last episode: quarterback Jaden O'Neal, wide receiver Devin Carter already committed. You have five-star DB Chauncey Keenan out there still, and legacy four-star DB Jay Timmons are both predicted to land at Florida State, as well as a number of other guys. You also have five-star linebacker Xavier Griffin, who was just on campus. That's a little bit more of a long shot there. But to wrap it up, guys, I think this is really what you wanted to see from this staff. You know, as we talked about before, Gus has signed a number of top 10 classes as a head coach. He had UCF recruiting as good as they ever have there in Orlando. Tony White and company, look, no offense to their previous stops, but they have never been able to recruit at a place like Florida State. They've been at Nebraska and they've been up there at Syracuse. And so, you know, I'm telling you, like, again, hear me say that it matters more about where you're at on signing day than it does in the summer. But with that being said, don't let Florida State get hot. I'm just saying, if they were to go out and win 9 games, you know, maybe surprise to the upside a little bit, win 9 games and sign a top 10 class, watch out, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to put the cart ahead of the horse here. I'm not trying to get excited until we see how things play out on the field throughout the season, but I mean, this isn't the old staff. This isn't the staff that went to a 2-10 and struggled to recruit. Let's see what they can do before we judge what they can be, right? That's the fair way to do it. And I don't think it hurts to be excited as a Florida State fan right now. I mean, like me and Michael, like I said before, me and Michael always say, we used to pray for times like these. And the staff gets credit for the work that they're putting in and the pieces that they're landing in this class. So, man, I'm just excited about it. Sitting at top 10 right now, hopefully with a few more commits on the way, some 4th of July fireworks later this summer. So, man, just really excited about the direction that the recruiting is headed, and hopefully they can keep this momentum going and then carry it over into the season. Now, the last thing I got to talk about on here, I was going to save this for Friday, but we might as well go ahead and mention it now. Tommy Castellanos just comes off the top rope and probably added a few more gray hairs to Mike Norvell's head in an interview with On3's Pete Nakos, however you say his last name, sorry, guy. Had a couple interesting quotes, right? He said that it has been a dream for him to play Alabama, and said, they don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. That's a bold statement from QB1, right? Saying that to Alabama, giving them some bulletin board material in this offseason. But I don't really believe in bulletin board material, right? Like, you're going to want to go out there and win that game regardless, one way or the other, whether someone says something out of left field or not. You're going to want to go out. So I don't really buy into that. And I don't really have a problem with this, right? For me, I look at it as you got to back it up first, right? Because if you don't back it up on the field, you're going to look dumb. It just is what it is. And most of the time, these things do come around to bite you in the butt more often than not. But I'm not mad at the quarterback of this team having some confidence, right? I'm not mad at him having that mentality that, look, this is Florida State, right? We are supposed to be the hunters, not the hunted. Something we did not see last year from DJU was this kind of mentality, this kind of leadership. You know, we heard them talk about in the spring, this, they want this to be the number one offense. That's something that Gus Malzahn talked about. Man, guys, at the Power Four level, you got to have confidence. And so, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more of a guy who likes to see you let your play on the field talk first, but I'm not going to be mad at my quarterback for having some confidence, right? This is Florida State, man. You got to be confident. You got to walk into there, you know, with the swag of knowing that you can compete with anybody. I mean, remember what Bobby used to say, anytime, any place, anyone, right? And so I'm not trying to be soft about this, right? I mean, have the confidence. It might look dumb in the end, but, you know, hey, like I said, man, what if Florida State beats Alabama? What if Florida State goes 9-3? What if Florida State signs a top 10 class? Look, man, anything is in the realm of possibility, right? We're 0-0. It's a new season, and this is a new team. They didn't go 2-10 last year. Thomas Castellanos didn't do that. Gus Malzahn didn't do that. Tony White didn't do that. So let them prove again what they can be before we judge what they might be hypothetically, you know. And there were some better quotes in there too. Like, I'm not just playing for Florida State. I'm playing for the coaches who are fathers and who have homes and families here. I'm just trying to save jobs and win. He talked a lot about the team, how basically they have athletes. He's not the best athlete on the team. He's just here to kind of bring them together. And man, I got to say, for whatever Thomas Castellanos may or may not be, for the jokes of him being like 5'10", 190 or something like that. Look, I got to say, I've been impressed this offseason, right? He came in ready to work. He was very adamant about being QB1 in camp. He's done a lot of offseason work with some top quarterback coaches. He's been confident. He's embraced the leadership role on this team. And so, man, these are qualities that I like to see from the signal caller who's in charge of this team, who everybody looks up to. And so I'm not mad at it at all. But I did just want to address that little bit of comment that caused a dust up on social media before we get out of here. But that's going to do it for today, guys. Make sure you join us back for our normal episode on Friday. Make sure you check out plantthespear.com. I'm trying to get up articles for all these commitments as well. And hit a like and subscribe to stay connected here on YouTube. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noles fans. And with that being said, guys, we'll wrap it up here. We'll catch you on the next one. As always, go Noles.